Good morning.
Morning.
Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 this morning. We'll be continuing in our series, Love is the Key. And this morning we're going to be talking about loving with our fellowship. You know, that's something many churches are missing today.
Amen.
Is fellowship. Fellowship with our fellow Christians, fellowship with the lost, fellowship all around us is lacking today in our Christian society. You know, we think many times that we're not supposed to have fellowship with our lost friends. But in order to win them to the Lord, we should have strong fellowship with them. We don't have to partake in their sin per se, but we need to have fellowship with them.
Amen.
We need to talk with them. We need to communicate with them. We need to share the gospel with them over and over again so that they might find Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
In Shane Hipp's book, Flickering Pixels, he tells the following revealing story. And this is a story I found this week, and I want to read it to you. I have two friends who are best friends. Each was the best man in the other's wedding. They talk every day, sometimes more than once, on their cell phones. They live only a few blocks from each other, yet recently one told me that he didn't seem his best friend in 2 months. That's more than 100 phone calls and countless chances to hop in the car and walk a few blocks to see each other. Their friendship is withering from lack of true contact. Each person has separately admitted to me that they don't feel they know the other person. It is a stretch to think that the illusion of real contact provided by the cell phone has something to do with this sad story. Electronic culture disembodies and separates us from those closest to us.
Amen.
Listen, my daughters text me on my birthday. Instead of calling me and wishing me a happy birthday, they text. How many of you have that in your family? You know, people think that a text represents how somebody feels, but you can have a text from somebody and not have the true meaning of how they feel about you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Terry used to always tell me not to text her, call her, because she could not know what my true mood was in that moment. She wanted to talk to me physically and not text with me.
Right.
And I think today we have got to where we're more comfortable using our cell phones to talk to one another and text messages to talk to one another than we do face to face. And that's lacking fellowship. When we don't see somebody face to face, when we don't meet them and shake their hand and talk to them face to face, we're missing that true fellowship.
Amen.
In our lives. Listen, my friend, we need to be all about fellowshipping. Jesus was all about fellowshipping. He met with his disciples, he talked with them, he sat with them, he had fellowship with them, and he had closeness with them.
Amen.
And that's what fellowship brings.
Right.
Fellowship brings closeness. Fellowship brings a compassionate thing out of something that you can't get over a cell phone. Compassion can only be felt with a touch of a hand. Compassion can only be shown for a person that is truly in their time of fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 37 through 44. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now notice verse 42 and 43 and 44. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me this morning, that I may bring it in a way that it is understandable to show the members of our church how important our fellowship is, not only with our Christian friends, but with our lost friends as well. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this message, bless the hearer, and bless those that could not be here today for sickness or of whatever is keeping them out of church. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
We need to understand how important our fellowship is. Most of us are quite unaware of the phenomenon, and in fact, believe our technology is bringing us closer together. Many of us believe that a cell phone is all we need. We can call each other, we can text each other, we can even FaceTime each other. So we think that cell phone's all we need. When true companionship, true fellowship is missing in our lives. I was eating lunch with one of those friends. In our story, it says, I was eating lunch with one of his friends when his phone rang and he answered it. He briefly apologized for the interruption and then joined his wireless conversation. In that moment, he was deported electronically, leaving me to dine by myself. The near became far, and the far became near. This is the paradox of the electronic age. In the sense, it retrieves and combines the characteristics of two previous media eras. If oral culture is tribal and literal culture is individual, the electronic age is simply a tribe of individuals. This is a confused state of being in which we are drawn together from far off places. We desire connection and in community in our increasingly nomadic existence. Yet we wander around the globe, glancing off other digital nomads without ever knowing and being known. This story reveals our society today.
Amen.
We are attached to our cell phones. We're attached by text messages, by FaceTime, and by cell phone calls. We should understand that more today than any day in history, because the time is short, we need to exhibit fellowship to our friends, our neighbors, our lost friends, and everyone around us. We need to be all about telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Today in our message, I want us to learn the importance of Christian fellowship and hopefully implant in your heart a desire to renew this important aspect of your faith. First of all, we want to look at the price of Christian fellowship. There was a great price that was paid by Jesus Christ so that we all could have eternal fellowship not only with Him, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look around you today. You see a diverse group of people, most of whom would know each other, and many wouldn't have nothing in common with each other, if not for the faith that we share.
Amen.
Look around you. Everybody's different. Everybody's got a different job. Everybody's got a different vocation. Everybody is different in our life, but we still have one thing in common. What is that? Our faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Our faith in Jesus is the one thing we all have in common. And that should be our means for fellowship. Our strong faith in Jesus should mold us and make us and cause us to be in fellowship with one another and with the world around us. Listen, my friend. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20 says this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, what does the blood of Jesus have to do with fellowship? My answer to you is, it has everything to do with our fellowship, that, because through the cross of Jesus Christ, not only are we granted forgiveness of sin and an eternal home in heaven, we also are gifted and united with each other as believers. We are united through the blood of Christ as his children, and we should have strong fellowship with each other. We are bought by the blood of Christ. We are brought into fellowship that is both in the present and in the future. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? We'll not just be sitting around alone. We'll not just be sitting in our mansion all alone. We'll be fellowshipping with each other. We'll be fellowshipping with each other and with our Savior.
Amen.
We'll have true fellowship that will never end. We'll have true fellowship that will see what Christ did for all of us as we look at the nail prints in his hand.
Amen.
And the scar in his side. We'll have true fellowship like we should have down here. Listen, Christ died so that we might have fellowship. In fact, it is a fellowship that never ends. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price so that we could be in relationship with him as well as each other. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 through 20 says this, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." We have fellowship with Jesus because we have been bought with the blood of Christ. We have fellowship with each other because we have been bought with the blood of Christ. We have fellowship with the world because we have been bought with Christ. Can you imagine what this world would be like if no Christian ever shared their faith? If no Christian had ever shared their faith with me, I would not be a pastor today. If no Christian had ever shared their faith with me, I would not be a Christian.
Right.
How about you? Did somebody share their faith with you? Did somebody fellowship with you and share the gospel with you and lead you to the throne of grace? Most of us had somebody in our life that had fellowship with us when we were lost and led us to the throne of grace.
Amen.
That's what we should be about. We should be all about telling people about Jesus. Listen, while I'm not suggesting we cut off our relationship with the world, at the same time, I'm advocating that the only true fellowship we have is with the Father, Son, and Spirit, and with others who have dedicated their lives to them. It is through our relationship with Christ that our relationship with each other is not only held together, but it is strengthened. Listen to me very carefully, my friend. Our relationship is not only come together as children of God through our fellowship, but it is strengthened as a whole church, as we come together as the body of Christ. Listen. Secondly, the purity of Christian fellowship. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look down in verses 21 and 22. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, who do you know that has had their conscience sprinkled with Christ's blood? It is your fellow believers. It's everyone here this morning that's a Christian. We have had our hearts sprinkled. We've had our souls sprinkled. We've had our bodies washed with the blood of Christ. Who do you know that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? It is your fellow believers. Who do you know that has committed him or herself to the following Jesus and doing his will for the rest of their lives? It is your fellow believers. Yeah. All of us have come to the throne of grace and we've received Christ as our personal Savior. We not only come into fellowship with him, but we come into fellowship with other believers. Yeah. We are one body in Christ, under one Spirit, under one baptism, under one Savior. We, as God's children, are united by the blood of Christ, and we all should be more like Jesus and have fellowship not only with his disciples, but Jesus had fellowship with the lost people in his day. He had fellowship with sinners. He ate with sinners. He had fellowship with those around him, everyone around him. Jesus never culled anybody. He always was welcoming people into his fold. He always was seeking people out that he could save. He was always about telling people about the gospel message. Listen, my friend, we should be more like Jesus. Listen, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with one another. Think about that this morning. We have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with one another. If you're in Christ, you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We share in an experience that is deeper, stronger, and more powerful than any other that has ever existed. We share in a fellowship that cannot be broken by the world. We share in a fellowship that cannot be separated by Satan or anything else. We share in a relationship and fellowship that cannot be destroyed by the cares of the world. We share in this because it is stronger and deeper than we can ever imagine. We have fellowship in purity and cleansing of Jesus Christ himself. Thirdly, I want you to look at the purpose of Christian fellowship, okay? So what do we do with all this that we've learned this morning? We recognize the price of Christian fellowship and the purity of Christian fellowship, but what can we practically do as the body of Christ about fellowship? What is the purpose of all of our fellowship? Well, I want to teach you this morning. It's to exalt Jesus' name, first of all. To exalt Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 10, go back there And look in verses 21 and 22 again. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, together as we go in the presence of God, what do? We exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we come to church? To exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we sing the songs we sing? To exalt the name of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of our fellowship. This is the purpose of our coming together. This is the purpose of us joining together as the body of Christ. It's not just to come together to have fellowship with each other. It's to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. He wants to be exalted, and we are made to be exalting His name. We do this in our worship, but we also do this by the way we meet together, pray together, eat together, and spend time with each other. Our lives demonstrate that we belong to Christ, individually, yes, but as a whole, even more so. Matthew chapter 18, if you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew 18 in the New Testament, I've got a scripture, two verses I want to show you, where Jesus is speaking about fellowship. Matthew 18, if you look in verses 19 and 20. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Notice Jesus uses this example. If two or more pray on something, my Father will give it to you. If two or more are gathered together in fellowship, I'll answer your prayer. If two or more are gathered together, I'll be in your midst. Notice what he says. He says he uses this as an example for two people, or two or more people. He says, it doesn't take a whole thousand people to have fellowship. It doesn't take a 10,000 congregation to have fellowship. Yes. You can be fellowship with two people. Amen. You can have fellowship with two individuals, two church members. That's what he's trying to tell us. He's trying to give us an example where two or more. He's not saying that we need to stay at home and only two people come to church. What he's saying is, if only two came, you still have fellowship. If only two came, you could still worship God. Amen. You could still praise His name. You could still do what God has called you to do. God is in our midst when we dwell together in Christian fellowship. He is here with us, and we proudly exalt the name of His Son in His presence. The second purpose of all this is to extend our confession. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. In our fellowship together, we share in the hope of God together. There are no longer rangers here. Notice the plural, us and we. Notice what Paul says. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. He's talking about the congregation. He's not talking about one person. He's talking about the church as a whole. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. Let us come together and worship Him. Let us come together. In our fellowship together, we share in the hope of God together. There are no long rangers. There are no individuals. We come together as the body of Christ. We build each other's faith through fellowship when we remind each other of the hope we affirm in Christ. The third purpose of fellowship is to motivate one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I've got to ask you all a question here, and I want you to be honest. Have you ever, even once in your life, sat down and thought of ways to motivate others to acts of love and good works? Have you ever thought of ways to tell somebody that you wanted them to do good works and motivate them to do good works? Listen, that's what my responsibility is. My responsibility is to share with you how Jesus has given us the ability through the fruits of the Holy Spirit to do good works. He has given us that Spirit that lives inside of us, that dwells in us, to do good works, to do the things that He would have us to do in this world. And the thing that He would have us to do more than anything is share the gospel message with our friends, with our families, with those around us. That's not something normal. Most people do. But hey, who says we're normal? We are people who have been blessed by God, have been ushered into His kingdom, and who live by a different set of values. And God says that part of that fellowship is to motivate each other specifically to acts of love and good works. Now, I'm not going to pause here for a few minutes and for a few seconds and let you think a minute about how you can do that. How could you motivate somebody to love and good works? Well, share with them what God has done with you.
Yeah.
Share them how God has blessed you to witness to somebody else. Share with them how you use your testimony to win somebody to the Lord. Share with them how your faith has grown, how you've become a more faithful Christian, how you've become a more dedicated Christian. Share with them how you've become more of what God intends you to be. That's encouraging somebody to good works. That's showing them how to live. Invite them to write some ways down to motivate others for this purpose. The next step is even more important. Begin to implement the acts of motivation starting today. The fourth purpose in all this is to encourage one another. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What is that day that he's talking about here approaching? It's the return of Jesus.
Amen.
It's Him coming back to get His church. Notice what He says in this passage. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That first part of that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is a command that God put in the Bible to show people that they need to come together in the house of God. Listen, you can listen to TV and hear a good sermon. You can listen to the radio and hear a good sermon. But let me ask you this. Is there any fellowship when you're watching television? Is there any fellowship when you're listening to the radio? Absolutely not. You're all alone listening to the television. You're all alone listening to the radio. You can only have fellowship when you come into the house of God, when you come in and sit together and pray together, sing together, shake each other's hand, buck fist, whatever you do, that is the fellowship that God wants us to have. He wants us to exhort one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. I'm going to deal with the middle of this verse now, the rest under our next point. One of the main purposes in our meeting together in fellowship is to encourage one another. You know, this world around us is not about fellowshipping. This world around us has more about dragging us down than it does lifting us up and encouraging us. Why do we come to church? We come to church to be encouraged. We come and we fellowship together to be encouraged. We hear the stories of how God has blessed us. We hear the stories of how God has answered prayers. We hear the story how God has given us things during the week to help us get through. We encourage things, and we encourage people by coming to church. We don't need to get any more of that when we come to church. We're here to lift one another up, to encourage one another, to make each other feel better when we leave than when we came in the church doors. I'm not talking about a bunch of slaps on the back, fake smiles all around kind of encouragement. I'm talking about encouraging each other the way they did in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 verse 12. Paul says this to his Christian brothers. Romans chapter 1 verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. What did Paul mean by that? He meant that it took everyone to comfort him. He meant everyone to build him up, to strengthen his faith. Notice what Paul says. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. He didn't say that my faith gets strong all by myself. He didn't say my fellowship gets strong all by myself. He said both you and me, when we come together, our faith strengthens, our encouragement strengthens, our fellowship strengthens, our motivation to serve God strengthens. All of that strengthens when we come together. How was Paul encouraging? He was encouraging the other believers' faith. We can help each other by helping each other keep the faith, live in faith, and grow in their faith. We can show each other ways to be strengthened in our faith. Once Paul had written to the Thessalonians and given them instruction about the Lord's return, he then ended with this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 18. Paul had been preaching to this church at Thessalonica for many weeks. He had been telling them about the Jesus return. He had been telling them about the faith they could find in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as he was ending this passage, he said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. He didn't say, get comfort yourself. He said, take the comfort you get and comfort somebody else. Comfort others with the message of the gospel. Comfort others with telling them about that there's a God that loves them. Comfort them about the fact that there's a Savior that died for them. Comfort them by letting them know that once they become a Christian, they have a Holy Spirit that lives inside of them that gives them the peace that passes all understanding, even when they're going through troubled times. Listen, my friend, we need to worship God and worship together in the house of God. What words was Paul talking about in 1 Thessalonians 4:18? Words that tell about the return of Jesus Christ. We can encourage each other by saying, Well, today might not have turned out the way you liked, but there's a better day coming.
Amen.
Think about that. Comfort somebody by telling them, this day may not have turned out like you thought it would. May not have turned out the way you expected it to turn out. But remember, there's a better day coming when Jesus is going to return to get us and take us home. Think about that, my friend. That is what we need to talk about. No matter what is taking away from us in this life, no matter how things are not as we would like them to be, no matter who comes against us, no one can take away the fact that we are prepared for that day that Jesus comes back for his bride, the church. I'm encouraged by that, and I need to be reminded of that over and over again, and I sure you do. Jesus is going to return. Jesus is coming back for his children. I heard a man say on television the other day, he said, he don't know about the rapture. He don't even know if the rapture's true. He don't know if it's ever going to happen. Let me tell you something. Jesus promised he was coming back for his children. John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, my friends, Jesus is coming back. Doesn't matter if people believe in the rapture. Listen. You won't find the word rapture in the Bible anywhere. It's not in there. The word rapture is not in the Bible. We believe in it as a snatching away. The word snatching away is in there. The word Jesus is coming back is in there. But the word rapture is not in our Bible. That's why they say the rapture is not true. Let me tell you something. Jesus made it clear that he's coming back for his children. He's coming back for every one of us to take us to eternity. To be in a place where there's no more sin. Where there's no more sickness. Where there's no more death. And where there's no more dying. He promised us a home of eternal bliss. He promised us all a home where we'll join with him in eternal bliss. To live throughout eternity. And we'll never cease to exist. Fourthly, and lastly, the priority of Christian fellowship. Despite the best efforts of pastors and Christian educators, many children in America still don't enjoy going to church. These kids usually reveal their disappointment and their discomfort through one of the few predictable habits. Some fidget in their seats, others doodle and draw, still others try to sneak a comic book or portable video game into the service. But a 7-year-old boy in Plain City, Utah, recently broke the mold and attempted to avoid the religious experience altogether. To that end, he hopped in his parents' car early one Sunday morning, pulled out of the driveway, took off down the road. Not long after, local police began receiving complaints about an erratic driver in a white Dodge Intrepid. When deputies located the vehicle and turned on their flashers, the boy refused to pull over, instead leading police on a low-speed chase through the streets of Plain City. Sheriff's Lieutenant Matthew Bell believes there's a practical reason the boy never exceeded 40 miles per hour. His speed was slow, but erratic, Bell said. He would kind of scoot down lower to push on the gas and kind of sit up on the seat more to see where he was going. The chase finally ended when the boy pulled back into the driveway of a suburban home, hopped out of the car, and fled into the garage. Later, confronted by the police, he finally explained the motivation behind his unexpected joyride. It was just too hot to go to church. It was just too hot to go to church. Think about that. This boy that had got in his car, run all around town, boy not old enough to have a driver's license, but he had run all around town being chased by the police. And when they finally stopped him, he said, "It's just too hot to go to church." How many of you have had that excuse? "It's just too hot to go to church. I can't go to that church down there. It's just too warm in that building." Listen, God has provided air conditioners so we don't have to be hot in church. God has provided heat so that we can be warm in church. You don't think these things are from God? Let me tell you, God made everything. Amen. He made the heat of the sun, and he made that air conditioner. He gave men the materials to make that air conditioner so that we can be warm in the wintertime and cool in the summertime. Listen, God provided all of it. The priority of our Christian fellowship. You know what? The boy's reasoning wasn't very far off from some reasons I've heard for people not going to church. It's too hot. It's too cold. I stayed up too late. I worked overtime this week and I was too tired to go to church. I don't like this sermon series. I'm just not into the music they play. I want to watch my Sunday programs on the TV, so I can't go to church. I want to watch the pre-game football show. I didn't have time for breakfast. I think people look at me funny. I didn't have time to iron my clothes. Over and over, people give excuses why they can't go to church. Over and over, people give excuses why they can't go to fellowship with their fellow Christians. I've heard every excuse in the book, and guess what? Most of them are selfish to the core. Coming and joining other Christian fellowship isn't all about you and how you feel and what you like or dislike. It's just as much about how much you have to offer to your Christian brothers and sisters as it is about how much you're going to get out of the service. We come together not for ourselves, but to fellowship with others. We come to church to have fellowship with each other and be at times with Christ. Other than life and death situations, I don't think there's anything more important you can do when church is going on than meeting in church. Remember Hebrews 10:25? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The Bible says we're not to neglect our meeting together because His return is drawing very near. We don't want to miss out on any fellowship opportunities that God has given us. We are here to encourage, to equip, to establish, to exalt, and we need all of us to get that done. I want to encourage you today to take this message to heart and realize how important coming to church is. We come to fellowship with each other, to lift each other up, to build each other up, and to be one in the body of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me today that I may share with those in the congregation. Lord, and you've shown us how important our fellowship is. You've shown us that we need to come together and so much more as the day is approaching of your return. Father, bless this invitation. If there's anyone here that does not know you, help them to see the need for salvation this morning. If there's a Christian that's struggling, help them come and lay that burden at the foot of the cross. Whatever it is, Lord, bless this invitation as only you can through your Holy Spirit and your conviction of that Spirit in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen.